The baby boomers led waves of dramatic culture changes. Their voices raise awareness of consumerism, retirement programs, higher education, healthcare, and civil rights transformations. Now, the baby boomers have reached an age where it is our turn to give back to them for their voices, their struggles, and their footprint on the society we benefit from today. Boomer Living Podcast is dedicated to the support and the enhancement of senior living and the baby boomers' needs and demands. We welcome conversations between caregivers, providers, gerontologists, geriatricians, neurologists, technologists, developers, and operators with one objective: to serve our baby boomers. By bringing together these experts and the baby boomers' families, we can share our knowledge that will educate and inspire others on how to care for the baby boomers. We're a social platform that focuses on the respect and care of this aging population that gave their youth and their wisdom to the society we benefit from today. I'm excited to welcome Deanne Kloon to Boomer Living Podcast. Thank you so much, Deanne, for being here. And it's good to have you here with us and share with us what you're doing in the senior living industry. So how are you doing today?
Thank you, Han. It's great to be here. I'm doing well and excited to talk about our new program.
Okay, great. So please do that. Share with us some of your background. Where are you from? What does your expertise lie? And how did you get interested in this field?
Yes, I'm in Washington State. So I'm in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. And I've worked in senior living marketing for over 20 years now. I came to it from, I used to market shopping centers. It's a little different, but surprisingly similar. And so I've worked with several organizations you'd probably be familiar with. And then the last several years, I've worked as a consultant, which I've really enjoyed the experience because that gives me for-profit, not-for-profit, life plan communities, affordable rentals, active aging, 55-plus, just the gamut. And so it's been really fun.
Wow, exciting. Okay, so could you share with us about your current project, Seniors Better Together, what it is, and what is the message of the Seniors Better Together to a potential community partner?
Yes, I like to say Seniors Better Together is three things. It's a co-op, it's a campaign, and it's a movement. And what I mean by that is the entity itself is structured as a marketing co-op of unaffiliated communities. And the campaign is all about messages to senior consumers about the bright side of senior living and all the options that exist within that sector, and to share stories about what is really happening and give people a perspective that they don't always find just strictly in the media. The news stories are, you know, not always favorable. And then it's a movement because it's at least intended to be a movement that unifies senior living communities in a common cause. And as we were talking earlier, I think we've always had both kind of a programming issue internally at our communities and a perception reputation issue. And so the current pandemic just really brought those things to light. And it seems that there's really no better time to collaborate than when we all have the same common challenge.
Absolutely. It is much needed. I think there's, like we discussed previously, there's mixed messages. And then on top of that, you know, the media doesn't help by smearing some of the exceptions about the few communities that perhaps didn't live up to the expectation. But there's a lot of great communities and many great people with a passion to serve, make a difference, and impact older adults. So I think it's a great effort of what you're doing. I commend you for that. Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been really a waterfall of interest, I guess you could say, just which is very exciting to have an idea where we were also talking earlier about when the pandemic hit, things came to a halt, and there wasn't a lot of business happening. There wasn't obviously a lot of marketing happening for senior communities. People were just hunkering down and figuring out what to do next. And so the idea of this was born of the situation. How do we help everybody get out of the situation together and inform people of this really important service and option that is really valuable to a lot of people. And it harkened back to my shopping center marketing days, because it was always a fund, like a co-op fund of the merchants at the shopping center that contributed, and then I would manage that budget for them. So this is very similar in that it's open to any senior living community, however they want to define themselves. Simply an age-qualified congregate living environment is what we're looking at.
Yeah, I love that idea, congregate living environment, co-living. I think there's a lot of benefits to that, because honestly, when I'm in my mid, let's say 80s, I do to be around other people who are in the same life stage, but I think I like it even more to be around people that are younger. There's a lot to still learn from kids that are, let's say, 25, 30s, and 50s. So I love that idea. Yeah, I think it's great. So now let me ask you about your effort in Seniors Better Together. Now, how does pooling resources make the group of community partners worth more than the sum of their parts? In other words, what's unlocked when they work together that isn't possible when they're separate?
When they're all separate, they're all competing. And there is, this is what happens in every business sector, you know, why choose this place over another place? It's all about distinguishing our unique differences and capturing, you know, that piece of a market pie that is going to want to choose your place over another. And so there's lots of reasons why people would do that. They all have occupancy goals to achieve, and it's just naturally competitive. The common message that we have right now is not which community do I choose? It's should I even consider a community living environment? People are fearful and dealing with the unexpected and dealing with a situation they haven't experienced before. And it's not, they're not really having these thoughts about what are my options? What can I do now? It's more about hunkering down, staying where I'm at, whether it's the good place or the right place or the best place. And so we need to collectively let consumers know we're open for business. We're a great industry. These are all the wonderful things that are provided, and get them to the point where they are now seriously considering looking for a specific location in their market.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. So basically provide a very clear, concise, unified message of what that value proposition is for the consumer, and not projecting this image that we're in competition. And then also that senior living is more than real estate. It's the aging journey. It's the vibrancy, engagement, wellness, and purposeful driven setting that you can get all of that in senior living communities.
It absolutely is. And despite what you might hear in the press, communities by and large have done an extraordinary job of keeping residents safe and healthy during the pandemic. A lot of them that we speak to across the country put measures in place in advance of any sort of state directives, and even to this day are often more stringent than whatever has been outlined by the health department or state government. And this is natural. The people that are drawn to this industry have a heart for people, and especially older adults, and take their responsibility very seriously about, you know, the health and well-being and welfare of everyone in their community environment. And it's not unprecedented in the fact that there's always flu outbreaks and things like that. There's infection protocols in place, particularly for licensed communities. And so the industry itself has been fairly well prepared. The difference is the longevity of it. We haven't had this amount of time that we've had to go through this. So the other thing that's happening is communities have to adjust and deliver on the promise. One of the things we really talk about in marketing is that you're choosing a lifestyle, you're choosing a community, which is like a second family to you. It's what's inside that counts, how you feel, what the atmosphere is. And of course, one of the big selling points is having a group of peers to interact with. And the restrictions to keep people safe and healthy have also contributed to more isolation in some cases. So we've expanded our, we're offering a marketing solution to a sales problem, if you will, but we're expanding our mission to include a pledge that the communities that join, we call them community partners, the community partners that opt in to Seniors Better Together also pledge that they are considering and taking great care to provide for a resident's social, emotional well-being in addition to their physical health. So people have had, there's a lot of great stories out there, but there's still some that need to step up to the plate and understand that this is not just about locking down and keeping COVID out of a building. It's also about nurturing someone's spirit and finding ways to do that while still keeping people safe.
Exactly. I agree with what you just said there. Obviously, first and foremost, safety and complying to the CDC. So we get that. But I think in parallel to it, you can still keep folks engaged, still have a purpose. And I know there's challenges. We can use technology to some effectiveness, and we just kind of have to make do with what's out there. There's still effort that we can operate on to ensure that folks are still thriving. Of course, it's a challenge, but those are solutions or creativity that we as an industry need to put more effort on. And here's the thing, safety does not necessarily end at isolation. Sometimes that's what you hear. You isolate folks. You might see them greeting each other through a glass, through a screen. And I get that. It's a very sad scene. But I think there's a lot of activities that still can go within the operation to continue to live, continue
Absolutely.
To thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. And the people that have chosen, particularly the people who have chosen community living prior to the pandemic, so they're living there through this period of time, are really the vast majority that we've heard from are so grateful that they have people looking out for their best interest, and they're taking care of essential things, and they're not having to go out into the world and deal with those things on their own. But it's been a long time. It's been many months now. And so the ones that are now thriving have figured out ways, whether it's like I call the pod system, where you have your own little group of your social group and you do everything together. And therefore, you're not just in the larger population of residents. Keeping it small is one way. They're doing virtual events, hallway exercise, where you just step outside your door and the exercise leader is teaching a class and leading you in a program, and socially distanced happy hours and things like that. So we're making headway. There's a ways to go, I think, to adjust to this situation. But overwhelmingly, people that are seeking this situation have a very hopeful attitude about it, that they are looking for that peer-to-peer belonging and sense of joy that comes from interaction, however that interaction looks these days.
Very true. Very true. As you were speaking there, I had a couple of thoughts going through my mind. Everything that you described, it made me think of the role of the person who is organizing the weekly activities is now so important, more than ever, because you are orchestrating activities that will include physical, mental, spiritual, in every regard. And when you sum it up, you want all that to create a setting that is provides them purpose, or at least lends itself for them to have a purpose, right? Isn't that what it's about? Because when you move into a community, that individual at one time was a teacher, an accountant, an engineer, someone that contributed to society. So because you're 85, moving into a community, you did not check out dignity, contribution, or service. So I think the role of activities coordinator is huge. You have to come up with all the activities to provide a setting for them to continue to thrive. If you had to say one thing, what would that message be of Seniors Better Together to the senior consumers, to the folks who've never experienced in senior living options? What would your one message be?
That even today, in these really trying times, there is a sense of belonging and purpose and moments of joy that are happening at communities all across our country and the doors are open for you to check it out. Don't discount this as an option. Explore it as a very viable option for you now and in the near future.
Absolutely. I echo that. How do you assure the consumers that the communal living is a safe option?
How are they keeping residents safe is a lot like you might consider what the airline industry is doing with the masks, with the disinfecting, with the strict policies on who can participate, right? Who can actually fly and who can't fly. And so with retirement communities, they have very strict visitor protocols, staffing, health checks. So we know that staff members are coming and going every day, and they have exposure to the outside world and their families of all ages. And there's strict health checks on team members. And I can't speak to every single community because there is some disparity depending on the location. But generally speaking, as everyone clocks in, there's a health check. And when they check out, there's a health check and routine screening and testing of both staff and residents. And then it's very similar. If visitors are allowed, it's a similar screening process. There's really a controlled atmosphere of who's coming and going and regular, consistent health screenings, which may include temperature checks or questionnaires, screening for all sorts of symptoms before people come in. They're starting in many places to do the rapid testing as well. Let's give also a shout out to the housekeepers and maintenance directors out there who are going above and beyond keeping places clean. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the executive directors. I think really the unsung heroes of this whole thing, because they are managing a situation that they've never had to manage before.
Absolutely. What are the communities doing to prevent social isolation in the time of COVID?
We were so fortunate with the spring and summer to have good weather pretty much everywhere. And so a lot of activities were able to resume, but outside. Now that we're going into a colder weather time, it's a different scenario. So you are seeing more both virtual things and then distanced activities. And I mentioned like the hallway exercise. People will get together in a more distanced, physically distanced way to do things where they would be in close quarters before. The same with happy hours and that kind of thing. I've seen rotational dining programs. Mm-hmm. So you can have a small percentage of the resident population kind of dining in shifts. So they're not all 200 people in one room at a time. And then the pod idea where you have a social circle and that's your group to dine with or play bridge with or whatever your other activities of interest are.
Mm-hmm. No, that's wonderful. I commend all of those that are being creative, coming up with solutions to keep residents safe and still engaging. That's a tough task. So I commend everyone holding this up. So now, with regard to community partners, I noticed that your partners right now are based in Washington. So do you have plans to expand nationwide?
Yes, absolutely. We, as I mentioned, I'm based in Washington. And so this is where the idea was floated. And I started talking with my connections in this area. And I'm really proud of the effort so far because it has all been completely 100% voluntary and pro bono in terms of the talent and services that have been provided. So our wonderful design team at Stafford Creative, who came up with the slogan, the logo, and the website, social media pages and all that have, you know, helped make the Seniors Better Together, the entity, really professional. And then I have other independent contractor type people who are experts in areas, social media management, and publications and sales. So we have business development activities happening all the time. And this is really where we're a newborn infant at this point. I think to have roughly 20 communities in our state that have signed up and many more that we've talked to who are verbally committed and taking steps budget-wise and such to participate Leading Age Washington, the state affiliate of Leading Age, the trade association, also has been instrumental in helping connect us to their membership. Mm-hmm. And they are one of our, they are our first founding sponsor. Mm-hmm. And so through that connection, we've been able to also talk with Leading Age National and all the other state affiliates. So we're really in the middle of a process right now of this grassroots communication, mm-hmm. Doing meetings with groups of communities in these different states and getting the word out that way. And we're really anticipating that we'll continue those activities through the fourth quarter of this year and really launch bigger at the beginning of next year with community partners beyond our state. And kind of breaking news, this hasn't been officially said anywhere publicly yet, is that Ziegler, the financial advisory group, has also agreed to sponsor Seniors Better Together. So we think that is indicative of the importance of this message and the nature of everyone collaborating to get the word out.
Absolutely. Congratulations for that. I wholeheartedly believe that it is a message that needs to get out there. And I think, why do it individually and collaboratively? Because there's no competition. We need to have one unified message. And what better way to do this and to do it together?
Han, I think it would be my dream that anyone affiliated, I know there's other people out there that have similar ideas or having discussions about this whole idea of how do we reach consumers right now and let them know about the bright side of, you know, what we have to offer. And private companies and ad agencies and trade associations who are looking for the magic secret to help out the situation. I applaud all of the efforts, but how wonderful would it be to have every one of those groups collaborate mm-hmm. on really a truly unified effort of all the trade associations or any of these groups that want to help in the current situation. We would love Seniors Better Together to be the central hub of all those ideas and efforts and somehow put it all together to make it work for everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree. Congratulations for the efforts, and I'm confident that it will continue to grow. Do you have any other thoughts for the listeners?
Oh my gosh. I hope that they will take a look at our website at seniorsbettertogether.com and contact us if they're interested in learning more. And we would just love to talk with anybody who has any even remote interest in participating.
Great. And I'll make sure I'll include that into the show notes and also the link when I post this.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this week on Boomer Living Podcast. Make sure to visit our website, boomerliving.tv, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and other platforms. This way, you'll never miss a show. And while you're at it, if you found value in this show, we would really appreciate a rating in iTunes, or simply tell a friend about the show. That would help us tremendously. Be sure to tune in weekly for our next episode. And remember, growing old is the purest and the most positive experience of human existence.